You're listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Bree Zender. My guest today is Matt Ritter. He's a professor of biology at Cal Poly. He's also the author of several natural history books. But today we're going to be talking about the Deep Ecology Collaboratory, which he's going to be leading a field trip at the collaboratory October 21st through 23rd at Rancho El Choro in San Luis Obispo. Matt Ritter, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having
me. Can you tell me about your background in botany?
Yeah. I grew up in Northern California and got a degree in microbiology at UC Santa Barbara. Uh-huh. And then when I went to get a PhD at UC San Diego, I started to study trees there and got very interested in trees. And coming to San Luis Obispo, where there's a huge diversity of plants, I really started to study the natural history of this place and the ecology of the plants that are here. Mm-hmm. San Luis Obispo is a diversity hotspot in California and in the world. We have, in the county, we have about 1,800 species of plants, which is more than the entire state of Alaska, for instance.
Oh, wow.
So small place with a lot of diversity.
Is there any reason for there's just a lot of diversity? Is there some sort of ecological reason for that?
Well, yeah, it's a great question that people can spend their whole career answering. Why are there so many plants where they occur and fewer in other places? The answer to that is that it's a nice place to live here in the sense that things don't go extinct as often. And also there's a whole lot of niches. It's different in San Luis Obispo than it is in Los Osos, that it is in Santa Margarita. Temperatures are different. The soils are different. Climate's different, that kind of thing. And so you get, with all these little niches, you get a whole lot of species occurring in different areas.
Right, yeah. There's like almost, I see different plants at every beach I go to, it seems like.
Yeah. And not, you know, you have beaches, but you also have really interesting geology. We have our official California state rock is called serpentine. And it's this blue rock that you see on the hillsides around San Luis Obispo. And that serpentine is hard for organisms to grow on, and there's a bunch of plants that have evolved to live on serpentine, so they're like biodiversity hotspot islands in amongst other soil types in San Luis Obispo, and we have a lot of serpentine endemics in San Luis Obispo, meaning they only occur on those serpentine rocks around town. Mm-hmm. And don't occur anywhere else in the world. And which brings me to the Deep Ecology Conference that mm-hmm. I field trip for the Deep Ecology Conference is to take those people and bring them to a local serpentine area where you can see some of the, we have rare and endangered species there. We have a whole lot of diversity and over a very small area because of that soil type and because of our special ecology around here.
And so now we're getting into the Deep Ecology Collaboratory. Tell me about that. What is that?
Deep uh-huh. Ecology is I would categorize it as an environmental movement that's about the respect of all living organisms and believing that all organisms have a right to live, whether or not they're useful for humans. Uh-huh. And the idea that that humans and all organisms are interconnected in a deep and ecologically important way that we don't fully understand. And they're bringing together a bunch of people in the deep ecology movement and people from out of the state. And my role is to show them a little bit about local natural history, that people who are attending the conference, and give them a sense of what our ideas are here about the deep ecology of how we interact with our organisms here. I've been in San Luis Obispo now for about 15 years and really studying the plants closely.
So you said you're giving a field trip. What are you going to be doing on this field trip?
So the field trip, the conference is taking place at Rancho El Choro, which is up Pennington Creek, right off the one near Cuesta College. And at the top of Pennington Creek, above Rancho El Choro, is a beautiful serpentine rock outcrop. It's a place which we call the Pennington Creek Biological Reserve. And in that area, we have the Choro bog thistle, which is a federally endangered species. And I'm going to bring them to be able to see that. It's a plant you don't get to see very often, and which occurs in serpentine wetlands. So a confluence of two very rare situations in which you have a serpentine rock outcrops with standing water. And so that rare plant occurs there. And it's one of the rare plants in San Luis Obispo that determines a lot of our land use around here and so on. And so it's an interesting plant to see. So my role is just going to be to bring them on a field trip a short distance from Rancho El Choro and get everybody an opportunity to see what our local ecology is about.
that particular plant is endangered?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, meaning it's listed on a federal list of endangered species, and we have several of those species in our county and in this area, and it's one of them. It's the one that occurs most closely to the city of San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm. Is the purpose of having the collaboratory, I guess, is to bring awareness to these issues of endangered species?
One of the issues is to bring awareness to the idea of endangered species and our interactions with those species, and bring up deep philosophical ideas about conservation. Why is conservation happening? Is it for human purposes or just an intrinsic value among species? That's the thing that people in the deep ecology movement talk about a lot.
So why is this important to have?
I think any conference that brings together people who are thinkers in a movement is important to have, obviously, for them to exchange ideas. And picking San Luis Obispo as a place to do this conference is a great idea, and that we have interesting ecology here, and as a catalyst for bringing up the ideas of ecology and conservation, it's a great place to do it.
So I know you already kind of answered this question, but I'd like you to go into a little more detail about what's different about San Luis Obispo.
You want to comparing it to other places in the world?
Other places, maybe.
I guess so. I mean, San Luis Obispo is special in the sense that we have what makes a place special. There are, from an ecological point of view, climate makes a place special. The type of habitats that are available make a place special, and we have rare types of all of that. We live in a Mediterranean climate, for instance. That alone selects for a great diversity of different types of plants. Most of the plants that occur in the San Luis Obispo area occur only here and in Western California and nowhere else in the world. So if you were going to come to a place to try to see really interesting ecology, there are other places in the world you would go to, but San Luis Obispo would be one of those.
Are there any invasive species that threaten that diversity?
Yeah, entirely. The question about invasive species is a very complicated one, because obviously humans have brought plants with them when they move around the world, and some of those species spread out from where they're originally planted, either as horticultural plants or agricultural plants, or they come in with agricultural plants and they can outcompete other plants in the native areas. And a good example of that, one plant we have that's really problematic right now is the African vilt grass. It's a grass that occurs all over our dunes. It's actually ruining some of the diversity on the dunes, including areas of Los Osos, Montaña de Oro, the sand spit. There are areas which used to be almost entirely coastal dune scrub with a diversity of different native species there, and are now almost only that grass. So it outcompetes our native species. It tenaciously holds on to its area in the plant community and won't let anything come back in. And it's running over parts of western San Luis Obispo like a wildfire. It's a nasty plant. And different conservation organizations in the San Luis Obispo area are talking about how to deal with it. And there's experiments happening how to deal with it. But it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there are issues with non-native plants, and that would be a good example of one. It is, in my opinion, the one that's the worst right now.
Palm trees, are they native to California?
Palm trees are so distinctly Californian, and as it turns out, we only have a single species of native palm tree in California, and that's native to the Oasis in the Anza Borrego Desert in southeastern California, our California fan palm. Mostly all the palms that we grow in San Luis Obispo and anywhere around here are not only not native, they aren't our California fan palm either. They're from some other place in the world. The look of California palms obviously is important. It's part of our cultural heritage in California. And palms, there's no such thing as an invasive palm. They're all planted, and they grow where people plant them, and they don't spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like them and some people don't like them. I'm sort of indifferent about them. I think it's a nice cultural heritage thing. But from the point of view of if you look and you're thinking about urban forests and forests of trees where people live, and that's what we call an urban forest, palms don't serve the kind of value that other trees do in urban forests, and that they don't cast very much shade. They usually have very small canopy compared to their size. And they just don't have provide as much ecological resources as other large canopied trees.
Mm-hmm. I've been kind of, this one's kind of on another unrelated question, I
Fine,
guess. But
go for it.
I've been wondering about the eucalyptus trees that are kind of in Montana, or, you know, mm-hmm. in the drive there. Mm-hmm. Those aren't native, right?
No, there are no eucalyptus that are native to California. Eucalyptus is a genus which has about 800 species in it. Uh-huh. All occur in Australia. And so all 800 species occur natively in Australia, but they are the most widely planted group of trees in the world. They're planted all over the world, including here in California. In California, in the mid-19th century, people started to experiment with eucalyptus trees. People saw that they were fast-growing and potentially could be valuable. Mm-hmm. In the Hazard Canyon area on Montaña de Oro, they were planted there as an experiment to see if any of those species would be valuable for forestry and paperwood pulp and poles and everything you could use wood for. And you have to remember that at the turn of the last century, wood was very important. This is pre-fossil fuel, so it was much more important than it is now. And people thought they were going to get rich by planting eucalyptus trees, these fast-growing exotic trees, and then harvesting them later on. Well, as it turns out, fast-growing trees don't make very valuable wood. They're good for paper pulp, but they aren't good for timber or anything like that. And so the bottom kind of fell out of the eucalyptus market. And now what we have all over California, including Montaña de Oro, is a big unharvested crop. And mm-hmm. so that's what you're looking at. You're looking at trees in rows in a big unharvested crop that the economic will doesn't exist there to remove those trees. Because you can't sell them out of California anymore.
So those were all planted?
They were all planted. And there are a few places in California, particularly northwestern California, areas around Santa Cruz, where they get a lot of marine fog and rain, where eucalyptus actually do spread out. They can spread out away from the original planting and be a lot like the veldt grass I was describing. Is it not just a non-native plant, but also an invasive plant, which is what we call non-native plants that spread out and take over natural areas. And the eucalyptus are pretty poor weeds in that sense. They don't spread out very much. They're just big and conspicuous, and so they tend to be controversial because of that, because people see them everywhere. They have a distinctive smell to them. They're also part of California's cultural heritage, though, and whether you think that's unfortunate or not, that's the case. And so they tend to be very controversial, even around here in San Luis Obispo.
How much has the number of agriculture here on the Central Coast impacted our natural diversity?
A huge amount. The farming and clearing for farmlands was the number one impact on native plants in California. A good example would be the valley oak, which is one of California's largest oak trees. It's this beautiful, majestic tree that you see in low-lying areas, alluvial fans, and places in the lower portions of valleys where the soil is very rich and the water table is very high, and they occur particularly around Santa Margarita and Paso Robles. Those are the big oaks that you see there. Those oaks, as soon as people came to California, they realized very quickly that those are indicators of good agricultural areas. So you would find where the valley oaks occur and remove them for fields and agriculture. And we don't even know the extent of what valley oaks used to be like in California, because there were no records for the amount of removals that took place. And in that case, you have a direct conflict between agricultural areas and a iconic species in California. And that continues. I mean, as more agriculture spreads out, you get more natural areas that are converted to agriculture, and then a severe loss of biodiversity because of that. Mm-hmm. That being said, agriculture is obviously very important. People have to eat, and it's a complicated issue about land use and whether it is an issue that currently exists in San Luis Obispo, right? The issue between oak trees and vineyards. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Economically, vineyards are very important for San Luis Obispo County. Our oak woodlands are our cultural heritage and our ecological heritage here, and those come into conflict sometimes. And we're seeing that controversy now, and we've seen it in the past, and so on.
Matt Redder, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Matt Redder is a professor of biology at Cal Poly. He's also the author of several natural history books, and he's going to be at the Deep Ecology Collaboratory October 21st through 23rd. At Rancho El Choro in San Luis Obispo. You can check out more details at ecologistics.org. For issues and ideas, I'm Bree Zender.